I'm Reggie.
And I'm Brian.
And this is R&B Talks.
The very first and premiere gray sweatpant episode.
Gray sweatpants.
That's right. We're both wearing gray. Reggie is wearing, he's not wearing overalls today, ladies and gentlemen. He's wearing gray sweatpants.
Did it on purpose.
I know. We're matching it up, dude. We're both wearing the tees and the gray sweatpants. Comfortable, nice cigar. How was your week, Reggie? Stressful?
So good, man.
So good. I don't believe you. But okay. Mine was pretty good, man. Work's going really well. I'm really kind of starting to get into my groove, right?
This thing still amazes me, by the way.
I know that thing is, I'm a little scared of that. I'm not going to lie.
I mean, it's just one of those cheap things from the smoke shop, but like, you know, hey, look, it's got a kickstand. Like, what do you need a kickstand for a lighter for? I mean, come on. It's a torch, obviously, but.
Yeah, you never know when you're going to need to.
You never know. You can need a kickstand your lighter.
Park your lighter.
Put the brakes on that thing. Yeah, it's funny.
That's right. Oh, such a.
So the week.
Okay, lay it on me.
It is good. And but this is also too, like, my back is still a constant, holy cow, it's going to break out of my spine's going to break in half kind of thing.
It will go away, Reggie.
I know, but it's like, it's so different trying to bust your balls now versus when I was in my 20s.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely.
It's not that. I think it's like, I really don't think I'm not any necessarily weaker, you know, in a way there's probably, I'm sure, but it's like, it's a more mature strength.
Well, you probably lost some muscle elasticity.
Yes.
Just because when you don't use them, they tend to get a little more rigid, right? Even, mm-hmm. 'Cause guys, I mean, once you know, people all the time refer to old man strength.
I know, and that's kind of stupid, but.
But there's a little bit of truth to it in the sense that there's a certain level of strength that you naturally have, that you hone. And you don't necessarily lose it just because you don't use it, but your muscles do become less elastic, less flexible, which will limit your strength because it limits the range of motion.
Yeah, so, and I do, that's, I mean, I'm terribly inflexible, like, no. But.
So no touching the toes.
I can touch my toes, but it's like, you know.
But you can't be sitting down.
No. It's not that. I mean,
you can't be like, look. I can touch my toes.
Look at me. No, it's just, you know, it's like the recovery time is.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Definitely different, right? The, like, if I'm going out and just like, and look, and my wife was like on me, she's like, look, I think you got to settle down a little bit. Like, I saw you out there, and it looked like that you had a big problem with that tree. I'm like, well, no, it's just that, you know, if you're trying to split a piece of wood that has a knot in it, the knots don't split. And in order to do that, you really got to break the knot or cut through the knot or whatever.
They do not split well when
they're not going to. It's because it's a knot. But it's like, you know, that's the only reason why it looks like that. But and then, yeah, you could say, well, you can go around the knot. But the whole reason I'm out there is for effort. You know,
that you're not out there because you want to split wood. You're out there because you want to exercise. You want to get some movement in. Right. I mean, if you were out there like technically trying to split wood, if that was your whole mission, you would just go get a log splitter.
Yeah. And I have like all these people around me who have log splitters. My neighbor does. He goes, you know, I got a log splitter you could use anytime. I'm like, yeah, I know that, but that's not why I'm out here. Yeah, I told him, I was like, dude, exercise. I told him, it was funny the other day. I said, you know, buddy, he's like, yeah, you're still out here doing it. I was like, yeah, I told you, man. I was like, when I reached around and touched my back of my arm that one time, I was like, that's too mushy. We're not doing that. Yeah. So here I am out there just freaking nailing it.
Well, and I think this goes to the live motivation. People get so mad at me when I say this, but I'm going to say it. Motivation is BS. If no person, no human alive, I don't care if you're David Goggins. I don't care if you're Hulk Hogan. I don't care who you are. You're not motivated every day. It's about choice.
True.
You go out there. I didn't want to go to the gym today. I didn't want to do 8 miles on the bike. I didn't want to do my core, but I went and did it anyway. Had no desire to do it after tossing doors all day, but I did it anyway.
Right.
Right. Because it's what I'm supposed to do. Right. I want to be healthy and functional and Yeah, it sucked, but I did it.
Yeah, it's just a good thing. It's just a good thing to do. It doesn't, like, this is the thing I just want to say. It does not, like, you don't have to go to the gym. Now, I realize in the city, this is a little more of a problem. But even if you did, like, some push-ups and, like, sit-ups or something in your house, it's better than nothing. Leg squats.
There are some Saturday mornings. I get up and go down to the high school football field. I'll do 2-3 laps jogging around the track. Then I'll run out on the field. I'll do some body weight squats, some push-ups, some sit-ups. I'll do some burpees. I'll do some side-to-side shuffles. I'll just do things to get a sweat up. Sometimes I'll wear a weighted vest when I do it. It just depends, you know?
I just think, you know, we're not built to stay still. That's what I know that.
Well, we were biblically, because we were built to be Christ-like, and Christ was nomadic. I think that is a perfect example of the fact that we were built to move.
Well, we were built to work.
We're built to work, but we were built to move, right?
Well, that's what I mean.
The body wasn't meant to be not in motion.
When God said, Adam, you're here to, you know, tend the freaking Garden of Eden. Yeah. Well,
that's what he did.
That entails work. Now, it's not like the work is less difficult than it is now, but the actual thoughts about work and the toil of work.
Well, imagine this.
We already talked about all
that. Let's imagine this. So Adam had to tend the garden. Adam didn't have no rake. He had no garden hoe or chainsaw or tree limb snips. How you think he tended the garden? Adam must have been a pretty buff dude, because he'd have to break some limbs off. And
yeah, I mean,
you know, he had pretty good shape.
Make some, I mean, you know, it's, did he make tools? Did he do this? Did he do that? I don't know, man. I mean, that's a good question, but I'll tell you this though.
Okay.
If this has come up before and I've seen it, like, you imagine, like, if you go to heaven, like, I always heard this, like, you get a big mansion, all this crap, like some of these other religions say, right? Well, you imagine that Adam's mansion is probably gated.
Yeah.
Heavily.
Yeah.
Because you imagine getting up there and be like, dude, we're going to have a talk.
We're going to chat.
We're gonna have a little chat, dude.
Yeah. Reggie and I were having this discussion earlier, and I'd love for you guys to chime in. All right, so Adam screwed up in the garden when he blamed Eve for the fruit. Do you think if he just looked at God and went, dude, my bad, that it would have been different? I kind of don't know.
I know. Like I said, it was like, well, God, I was looking at what you made, and I was distracted.
It was obviously perfect.
It was perfect. I just didn't care what she handed me at that point.
Yeah. She could have handed me the snake itself, and I would have probably tried to take a bite.
You know, would it have been different? Well, we don't know, but, you know.
I think God would have been like, you're good. Sorry, man. Sorry for being perfect.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry for making something perfect.
My mind was not on whatever she was handing me.
Truck on down the road.
That would have been funny.
We'll make a new tree.
Yeah. Bye, snake. You're gone.
Speaking of poison fruits, Reggie, another megachurch scandal this week.
Oy vey, bro.
Dude.
All right, so look, here's the thing about Robert Morris. I don't really care. I don't really know the guy. I don't know the church. I know it's a mega church. They have like 100,000 people come to that church every weekend, or did. And so an incident happens, and I'll have some links in the description. You know, 35 years ago, when he was 20 years old, he had an inappropriate relationship with a young lady, what he said. Now, so he goes to this, and that comes to pass. And apparently there was like emails and stuff. There's like all this other details that keep coming out about like threatening certain family, all this kind of stuff. So, I mean, who knows how nefarious this kind of is, but anyway, so the whole point is he's a young, I think at the time he was on staff or something at the church. I can't remember. So he's married and has kids at the time. He's 20 years old. Has this inappropriate with what he calls a young lady. He resigns from ministry for a while. He goes through some therapy, supposedly, yada, 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 this kind of thing. And then eventually comes back. And so then he comes back to ministry and has been leading this church for I don't know how long, decades, right? A couple, at least probably 10, 15 years. Well, the problem is it wasn't a young lady. It's a 12-year-old.
12-year-old, yeah. That's tragic, man. We have a whole different level of problem when you tell me it's a 12-year-old girl.
Okay, but now you can read all about like what other people saying in the descriptions and stuff, but here's the thing about this, dude. A, why did the church not get the, or the church had to know that this was not a young lady. It was a 12-year-old girl, for one. And why, I get repentance, and I don't want to take away that. And I also don't want to assume a pastor is different than, you know, is not human. But at the same token, a pastor is held to a higher standard. The Bible's clear about that. But it's like, so the church goes on and instead of like, I just don't understand how they assume repentance has happened. They bring him back in. And someone there knew he had an inappropriate thing with a 12-year-old. So
assumption is the mother of all screw ups.
Well, I mean, and I don't know this church. I don't know the thing, but it's like, there's too many things here that just scream ick.
There's a whole lot of things that scream ick. And let's go back to this thing you just mentioned. Someone knew. Someone in the higher up of that church knew what was happening. And they didn't say anything.
Well, they knew who she was.
They knew who she was. They knew the situation. And here's the biggest shame of all of it. People are flocking away from that church right now. Of the hundreds of thousands that attended that church every weekend that possibly were contemplating giving their lives to Christ, were possibly contemplating a relationship with God, are probably now not.
But I think that, and here's what I really want to say to anybody who's not a believer. Here's the thing. It's not about the humans. It's about the one that they worship. We're all going to screw up and be dumb and do stupid things daily. And regardless of what that is, that's not who the focus is anyway. However, where this is a Western church, mega church thing that we've had going on. There's been several different mega church pastors and stuff.
Another one that people will be familiar with was Hillsong.
Mm-hmm.
How many of the leadership in Hillsong wound up being accused of sexual misconduct? I know most of the major players were accused of sexual misconduct.
Yeah.
But this goes back to that thing that I was talking about where I think that there's a point where power becomes the point. And then we begin to believe that we're untouchable and that we can do things that are, and that's my biggest fear about mega churches. And I'm not saying that there are some mega churches I know of that I know the pastors and they're good people. But when a person gets to a certain point, the word untouchable starts to come up. When you start to be a pastor that no one can talk to, I'm sorry, you can't talk to our pastor. You can talk to one of our 35 associate pastors, but you can't talk to our head pastor.
Yeah, see, that's the part right there that knew. Yeah. That's absolutely heinous.
You're not a pastor at that point.
No, you're just a freaking spokesperson, dude. Yeah.
You're just a figurehead.
So anyway, so the thing about this is like there's a lesson to be learned here because it's like when you get I feel like when, and this is just a perspective from my standpoint, when your church gets to be where it's sizable, where there's like something to lose that's substantial,
yeah,
it becomes more about the church than it does become about what's right for the mission and everything else. And sometimes those two can coincide. But, you know, a thing like this where, you know, you have for 35 years, it just now comes out that it was a 12-year-old instead of a young lady. And it's because the young lady is grown up now. It's like, whoa, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You know.
This was not okay.
This was not, you know, it wasn't just like a young lady. She was 12 when it first started. So, I mean, that's the thing, like, there's a lot of like, it just feels like to me, just a bunch of typical, what I would call now corporate cover up type of nonsense to, you know, do what you can to stop the flow, you know?
Well, and I feel like when these elders are coming out and wanting to apologize and do, you're just putting gas on the fire, dude. You need to be dealing with the controversy. You need to be dealing with the consequences. You coming out, it's like, Reggie, if you shot me and then a guy across the street showed up to apologize, you're not the one that shot me, dude. Why are you apologizing to me?
Well, yeah. I mean,
right. It doesn't work that way. You know,
Morris has said that he did get forgiveness from the parents and all that stuff. And he said that all happened. They said that this is all, cause I don't know. I haven't seen anything from Robert Morris, by the way, but I don't think anybody has, but
he got forgiveness from the parents.
Yeah. The parents forgave him.
Something about that is just sounds fishy.
I don't know, man. I mean, I think forgiveness could happen, but I'm just thinking about my girls, dude.
Yeah. I'm just thinking about my boys. And if somebody did something to them unspeakable.
And I mean, I'm just, what
I have no problem admitting that I may not be able to forgive a person who hurt my children.
I don't know. I don't know. I think that'd be difficult. And I think that would be let me make this clear. It's not like I don't think forgiveness is a correct way to go about it.
Yeah.
I
just don't know if I'm capable of it.
For me, I'm just speaking for me, man. I don't know.
Yeah, I just don't know that I'm capable of it.
Like, but anyway, look, it's just stupid, and it just riles me up that we keep having these things, and it's really because it's here. It is 2024 where we have this like immense, you know, coverage of everything. So anything that happens that can get, it gets blown up and everything else, and it's like. You know, it's a guy. He was obviously did some really stupid, bad things that are I detest heavily. And then, you know, so it gets all blown up and then you just create this whole.
I think this goes back to a lot of different things that are going on inside of larger churches. Going back to what we talked about before with the male pole dancer guy.
Yeah. I don't disconnect.
Think,
right?
Yeah. I think it becomes a show. We have to put on a show, right? Still utterly convinced that there is no reason why good Christian music can't be made for the church to enjoy. A lot of the stuff, one of the things that I find that the churches do a lot of times is, especially during the worship time, there will be this song list repeat thing where they just do, you know, our God is an awesome God. And then it's, you know, the next one, you know, very well, or whatever poppy Hillsong-y thing that comes out next. Right. So, and I'm not taking away from the words of the music, you know, what I'm saying is it's a show. It's a big giant, it turns into a big giant show. Now, don't get me wrong. I've been to some great big church events, man. We went to the one with the guys from 13 Hours. That you were there. Anyway, guys, you got to understand, I got to see Reggie just jam out to some classic 70s music on the drums up on stage with thousands of dudes there. It's like being at a live concert. It was really
cool. We were playing classic rock stuff
But I've been to some awesome events, right? But I've also been to some events where I'm like, this is a circus.
Yeah. You know, I think it's just, there's no, look, I mean, I don't have any problem with like a bunch of throwing on an event or something or whatever. I guess I don't have any issue with something like that, but man, it just gets to be all the time. It gets to detract from.
And then a lot of it is, well, we got to top the last event. Do you? And I think that's where they get lost in these things, like having a male pole dancer come on and do a jiggly dance or whatever that guy. I watched that dance and I still don't really understand what he was doing. I got the gist of it.
Yeah, the sword swallowing circus. Yeah. It was a circus act, dude.
Yeah.
That's really what it is.
But I feel like that's what happens. It just keeps climbing this ladder of what can we do next? Right. And eventually you get away from the purpose and you start looking for whatever's going to keep the eye. Right. And a lot of times whatever's going to keep the eye ain't exactly what you need to have the eye on.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, anyway. Well, we'll keep an eye on it, man. You never know. All the details aren't out. Hopefully just, we'll know more.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just something worth saying that, look, this stuff It's just insane, man. And it just hurts my heart, man. You see this crap.
Well, it hurts my heart for the members of the church. It hurts my heart for the young girl. It hurts my heart for probably the people who were working within the church that thought that they were working in this mission. And it just takes all the, wind out of your sails when you walk into a bear trap like
that. Oh yeah, I know. It's just, you know,
and then a lot of times people lose their grasp and they feel like their ministry wasn't worth anything. I would encourage all the people that are inside that church that are doing the right thing to continue doing the right thing. You know, it doesn't matter what he did. He's a man. He's fallible. He fell like every man has fallen. He cannot be the reason you're doing what you're doing. Keep working towards Christ.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
The other thing that is of note here is in part of what we're going to continue on our men's mental health month kick here. Talk about anxiety and depression.
Oh, mercy. Boy, what a rabbit hole, dude. When I started going down this one, I was like, before we get into all this, I probably read 50 articles on, from the woke perspective, from the psychological perspective, from the emotional perspective, you know, and one of the ones that I read was from a place called verywellmind.com, which is, this is more of a liberal, and I want to read this because part of what I want to discuss is about this. And this says mental health effects of toxic masculinity. Let's be clear, folks. That's not a real thing. Toxic masculinity is the left straw man right now that they're using to try to pistol whip masculinity into the dirt. But it says mental health effects of toxic masculinity can include anxiety, depression, higher risk of suicide, increased loneliness, increased risky behavior, increased substance and alcohol use. And I'd like to speak to all of the third and fourth wave feminists that love to attack men and call us toxic and tell us that being masculine is some kind of gene mutation, and like to call us anti-femininity. Let's be clear. God created man and woman to be for a balance. I love the fact that my wife is a feminine woman. I love the fact that my wife embraces her motherhood and embraces her womanhood and embraces what she's supposed to be to this world. I love it. I so love it. There's nothing in me that's anti-feminine. There's a thing in me that is anti-toxicity, not toxic femininity. There's no such thing as toxic femininity either. These are all straw man boogaboo words that everybody made up so they could make their false argument and fight from the wrong perspective. There are only toxic people, man or woman. You are toxic. If you are toxic, you're toxic. It doesn't matter what your gender is. If I am defined masculine as I was created, then it is impossible for me to be anti-feminine.
Anyway, this whole thing about that though is part of the reason why we have as many problems with men's mental health as we do.
Yep.
So the more we stray away from what we're designed to be, the more we're going to end up with issues in the world we live in. That's not just some kind of religious nonsense. That's the nature we live in.
It's how we were built.
The important thing here is that we've talked about the statistics behind some of the things. 1 in 20 are successful in committing suicide in men. I mean, the numbers are hundreds of thousands of men a year are not
just shy of a million men.
It's crazy. So this is a pretty big thing. And the anxiety, depression is part of that. So Brian, I want to, I know we got the woke perspective says that, you know, because we're trying to be this, you know, leader, strong, stoic person, that is actually what's causing our problems with anxiety and depression, is because that's what we're trying to do. Did I get that quite right?
Yep. You did. And I say poppycock.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So let's talk about this then. Maybe did you read anything about like the signs of depression or fear? Or,
you know, erratic and dangerous behavior. There are similarities between men and women, but men tend to lean more towards the aggressive when they're suffering depression.
The irritability.
Yeah. Disconnection. And being someone who has, you know, you and I are on opposite ends of this in the sense that you really haven't ever, I have at one point, and it was through having the dire mother. You know, my mother was very oppressive and tried to tie me to this adolescent role, and I think my body, my natural instinct to become stronger and bigger and move on was being suppressed by her, and that caused many years of struggle and anguish and anxiety and depression and disconnection to happen. So I'm speaking from a person who has been there, but when I look back on it, it wasn't a toxic masculinity that caused me to go there. It was the suppression of what I was supposed to be. You know, it was suppression of trying to be a leader and a stronger man and an available man for the people around me. It affected my marriage negatively in the first couple of years. So I've apologized to my wife 1,000 times.
I think you said the right word there, suppression.
Yeah.
There were some studies done. I don't have the links or whatever, but about young boys and how when they are allowed to play and like roughhouse more and do things more, like really be boys.
Yeah.
It increases all kinds of aptitude levels and all kinds of things within the how they grew up and all. I mean, it really does.
Well, there's proven studies too, that when you suppress a male adolescent, when you suppress their masculine traits, you tend to create destructive and inappropriate behaviors.
Yeah. So, I mean, that correlates to the adulthood that would come about. Right. If you're an adult now and your natural tendency of your, of being a masculine figure and like trying to be in our space, the biblical man. And if that's being suppressed, that's going to cause tension.
And let's be clear. We use the term biblical man, not to put ourselves above the man next to us. To be a biblical man is what we are striving to be. Right? We strive every day to be a biblical man. We are going to make mistakes and do stupid things.
Yes.
That we are no different than the man standing next to us. And that's the thing that I wish I could get across to people, is I feel like when you tell them I'm trying to live a biblical manhood and they see you make a mistake, they suddenly look at you as a hypocrite.
I know. I mean, it's totally not like that. It's something to strive for. It's not like a, I try to be that, not necessarily that I believe that I do become and achieve that, but it's not, it's a difficult thing to keep up. It's a constant work, I should say.
Well, and I also will say that there are some traits of being a biblical man that you're going to be better at than myself, and I might be better at than you, but we could even go so far as to say those were gifts. But you know, where my biblical manhood tends to shine is through I like to be generous with my time and my ear and trying to help others and things of that nature. That's where I feel like I'm stronger in my biblical manhood, right? Where your biblical manhood may be more, you know, towards, you know, acts of, you know, you very much have a very good lean towards scripture and being able to discern scripture and, to do things like that. I can do it, but it takes a lot more work on my part to do it, where it seems to come pretty natural to you.
Yeah.
So there, it's different for everyone. And there are things that I'm going to struggle with. There's things that I really struggle with. Like I struggle with my temper and
well,
letting them fly.
Regardless about this. So you've had experience with, like you said, I haven't. And it's not that I've never been anxious, right? But I've never had a problem with depression or anxiety it's never been my thing of mine, right? So for me, it's always a difficult thing for me to like understand and like empathize with yeah, other men, right?
Exactly, yeah, for sure.
Because I don't understand. I just don't understand how that what's going on, right? So, but it's not that I think that those things aren't legit or whatever. It's just really difficult for me to like put that in perspective, I suppose. Cause you know, there's the old school, how I grew up was like, well, just
suck it up,
you know, yeah, dust off and let's keep going. What's wrong with you?
Kind no of one thing. Cares.
but that's not going to help.
Well, and something else, you know, and guys, I would be really careful with social media too, because I honestly think, and you can tell me if you think I'm wrong, Reggie, I think there's a lot of guys out there that are trying to make men more masculine that are screwing it up. And here's a great example. There's a lot of these videos that start out with, if you're a man, you need to realize that no one's coming to save you. Lie number one, Christ is coming to save you. You will be saved, right? If you so choose to believe that Christ is real and that God is real, and to speak that into existence, then he will come and save you. He will not take away angst. The biggest lie in the Bible is God will not give you more than you can handle. That's not true at all. There will be times when it will be almost crushing, but what his hope is that you will turn to him in those times, right? There's hope. And I feel like a lot of these quote unquote masculine influencers are trying to scare you into being.
Yeah. I mean, I fully agree with this. Because so here's the thing for me. And, I do tend to try to be stoic in that I don't want to be too high or too low. I want to be even keel, right? It's just how I think that's better. And so a lot of times, but at the same token, I grew up with four women, dude. I had four moms, basically. Like my mom and her three sisters raised me, right? And I had my dad around, obviously. I wouldn't have ended up like the dude I am now without that. But but these four women imparted a lot of like empathy and like compassion and like this emotive thing that I really can feel a lot,
and you there's know? Nothing wrong with that.
No. But, and it's not like I try to necessarily hide that, but it's like I control it, I should say.
Fair enough.
But that's not a bad thing. If you feel things, men feel things. that's a total BS. And I think this also goes into like the typical like cartoony family stuff, like Family Guy and all this, where you have this dude who's like completely incompetent type of thing, which I hate, because it just like, it shows him that's not what a man's going to be. He's not going to be this incompetent buffoon. That's total garbage. It's funny on these cartoons and stuff, but boy, if that's in real life, there's real issues that had to be sorted.
Nobody's American Dad, right? Like, no, it doesn't work that way,
right? And so, I mean, that's the thing. Like, for some men, feel we're not mindless, we're not emotionless creatures.
Yeah,
you know, even the toughest guys feel a lot, and you can see this. Like, if you watch the Sean Ryan show,
mm-hmm,
listen to these Uber, like top tier spec ops people talk about their experiences and stuff. And yeah, you get it. You'll figure this out really quick, you know? And they've done some things that, holy cow, right? But it's not like they did it without feeling anything.
Well, like Tig at the event when he was talking about what happened in Benghazi. That man got emotional at the end. Like, because we're not made of iron.
No.
There's things that are going to happen to us in our lives. You know, there's a very telling moment that I had, and I'm not angry about it, but when my uncle passed away, it was hard on me, man. He was one of the few men in my life I could count on. And one of my other uncles, you know, I was crying because it was a huge loss for me. Like, to this day, I still struggle with it. And he comes by and he goes, "Stop that." He goes, "He wouldn't want you to do that."
But it's wrong.
But that's wrong because it isn't about what he wants me to do. It's how I'm dealing with the anger, the frustration, the pain of the loss. And I was feeling all that all at one time, right? You know, the finality of death is difficult, especially when you're close to someone, when you have that close relationship. And we were very close. When I needed to have a conversation and work something out that I was super struggling with, he was the go-to guy that I went to that helped me through those things.
So what we're both saying here, it's up to us men to not be so anti-emotion towards other men in times that it's really necessary.
Absolutely. I think,
okay. You're right. Yes. And that's different for every dude out there. I'm not saying, look, I know I've known some men who were like the crying type who did all this stuff. And you know, there's some of that. I don't begrudge that at all. Okay. Cause I mean, look, it's just them expressing their emotions. And it depends on where that's coming from. Let me say that it really depends. Cause if you're like, it can come off as, like, you know, if like a bird flies through the air and you tear up,
mm-hmm.
and that's a common thing for you, then that's probably there's something going on that you need to deal with. But like, if it's a real moment that is like causes a reaction emotionally and that's how you deal with it, then you deal with it that way.
I do believe too, that as we get older, I don't want to say that we soften. I want to say that we become more in tune with those things.
Well, you know what soften you, dude, in a hurry?
What's that?
Have some daughters.
Yeah, I can't. God knew.
I know.
If he gave me daughters, he knew I'd wind up murdering a teenage boy.
I know. Well, my time may come with that one, but
it's like, I can't do
it. I'm telling you, bro, my daughters have, they, I'm gooey, bro. I am just gooey.
I love the fact that your girls are so welcoming and fun and laughing. I love to hear your girls laugh.
Like, I know, dude.
Because they're truly laughing. Because they're full of joy, and that's cool.
Right? And it's man, I mean, you know, it's I've totally accepted that I'm a whole lot more gooey now than I was, right?
Yes.
But the thing is, it's like, and that's okay.
That's all right.
You know, I mean,
and I want to talk to biblical men who are God fearing men that are struggling with their relationship with God. Because they're a lot of guys take that biblical man role and they feel like they have to be always stoic and very focused. And God wants us as we are. God built us. We were built by something bigger than us.
For a unique purpose.
We were built for a very unique purpose. Do you honestly think that God built you in any way that he wasn't prepared to deal with?
Well, here's some good examples of this. Yeah. So I found this out. Okay. There are biblical characters in the Bible that are prominent that struggled with anxiety and depression's not really in the Bible so much.
They don't really speak of it.
Because that's a term and it's something that came about much later in human history. But King David, Ahab, King Saul, Moses, Jeremiah, Judas Iscariot, obviously, Job, Elijah, Jonah. All those in the Bible struggled with anxiety and depression type things.
I would say Solomon.
Well, Solomon too, because I mean, he was like, "Whoa, is this?"
Yeah, he was very, but he was very much dealing with being torn between what the world offered and what God offered.
But
and he tested everything.
You don't have to go. You look so because here's the thing: depression and anxiety are very, very, very real things that happen, and even in the biblical context of these monumental figures where where we're reading about. Struggled like King David. I mean, look at that guy. He had everything, you know, like a massive king in this empire, you know, and here he is having all these struggles. King Saul, same thing. Moses for one, right? I mean, there's a guy who went up and got the Ten Commandments, and that dude's having issues, right?
Yep.
You know, now Judas is interesting. I think that would be the guilt and shame that led to this extreme anxiety that obviously led to a terrible end, right? And I think that's a scenario where you find that a lot of guys get to, unfortunately.
Well, I think Judas is a very good example of when you fall away from depending on God and fall into depending on men.
Yes.
Because Judas got so deep in the conspiracy to crucify Christ that I feel like he got to that point of desperation where he felt like there was no way out.
Yeah. Look, he just done the unthinkable,
you know
what I mean? Betrayal is like a whole thing, you know, yeah. For me, if I think about like causes of anxiety and depression, like an act of betrayal that you realize and that you internalize becomes a severe point of,
very much so.
Right.
Agreed.
But at the same token, that's why Christ is there to take that sin and shame and the guilt and all that stuff. We're not going to be Christ. We're not going to fulfill the Old Testament law. We're not going to do any of that. That's why he came. And so it's like, so here's where I really want to go with this too. We talked about friends.
Yes.
And the importance of like really like having male friends that you can and that'll bolster you bolster them. This is extremely important in 2024 manhood.
Yeah.
And we talked about like ways to do all this stuff and find friends, maybe do all this, but it's, you must make an effort here. Especially if you're struggling with any of the things we'll talk about here in a minute,
yeah.
But like that is your friends who care about you, who are honestly caring about you, not just, you know, blah, blah, blah. They will, if they're doing it right as your friend, they'll be there for you.
Yes.
They'll help pull you out of whatever gutter you think you're in.
Yeah. And let's also be clear, just like there's no 50-50 marriage, there's no 50-50 friendship. Sometimes you're going to bring 10 and they're going to bring 90. Sometimes you're going to bring 70 and they're going to bring 30. But the balance of it is that, you know, first and foremost, know the difference between an acquaintance and a friend. Acquaintances are usually where betrayals happen because there's no level of trust between the two of you that's been earned on both sides. So they kind of feel free to let things loose that shouldn't be let loose. But secondly, work hard to surround yourself with the wise counsel needed, because once you have that counsel around you, then you suddenly don't fear speaking out your issues to those people.
Yeah, there's a trust. Once you get trust built up, right?
Yeah.
You have a respectful trust between friends. That should elicit some open and honest communication between the two men.
Absolutely.
And that should allow you to be able to express your difficulties.
But vice versa, you have to be open to being called out by someone who
you consider a friend. One. That's a big one.
You have to be open.
Yep.
If I'm participating in a behavior that is immature or could hurt me or bring shame to me or my family, and if my friend, someone who is my friend, and that word has weight, friend, knows that I'm participating in that and doesn't call me out, then is that person really my friend? Or are they just the person that is looking for
And it's not, let me just say this. It's not easy, right? Yeah, if you're that friend who's going to call out your other buddy, that's not an easy thing. Okay. Cause now you're saying, man, this is the dude. I like this dude. I don't want to hurt his feelings. I don't want to crush him, but dude, yeah. Something's gotta be done.
But because I care about him and because he's my friend, I don't want him to hurt himself mm-hmm. or hurt his family or hurt his reputation or hurt all those things. Right. So there's things that happen there.
So let's talk about some of I read an article, that was like the 12 signs of depression in men, right?
Yeah.
Some of these we've already talked about: irritability, inappropriate anger. And yep. I think inappropriate anger is more apt for a more quote unquote alpha male type person.
Yeah.
Than like frustration and that kind of thing. But the anger, man, it can come out. I know that when I get I feel stress
mm-hmm.
and I've got way too much going on, I'm overwhelmed. I'm way quicker to anger, and it'll be sometimes just stupid. But I'm like,
you'd be mad about something dumb,
and I have to apologize to my family. It's not often, thankfully, but you know, there's sometimes. I mean, I'll just, and I have to come back. I'm like, man, I'm sorry, guys. I should not have yelled about that or done this or that. I've had to apologize to my girls. You know, be like, yes, you did that wrong, but that's not, I shouldn't have acted the way I did. And I shouldn't have done that. I've had to do that to my, and I've done that to my girls. I'm sorry. That was way over the top. I've had to do that. Feelings of hopelessness or emptiness.
Yeah.
Too little or too much sleep.
Yeah.
That's kind of not one you'd think of right off the bat.
Overwhelming exhaustion.
Right. Like, cause it's like a whole lot of energy to be depressed, apparently, you know, low energy or poor concentration. So if you feel very down, very low energy, not be able to do much, you can't concentrate on things, lack of interest in stuff. So if you just have no interest in anything, risky behaviors.
Yeah, that's the one I was going to say. A lot of guys that I know, when they get to that point or that level, they tend to do things like drive way too fast or. You know, take risks that are unnecessary.
Well, or drink too much.
Yeah.
Or take some drugs or something over the top. That's not cool.
Yeah.
Escapist behavior. That's another one.
Yep.
Controlling, violent or abusive behavior, which kind of goes along with the inappropriate anger really, but also physical symptoms.
Yes, headaches, digestive problems, phantom pain, all those things are results of depression.
Can be. They can be other things too, but if you got multiple of these, I think you're on the right path to figuring this out.
Yeah.
Sexual dysfunction. So if you're having trouble with that, like you have a low sex drive or something, and this is beyond what you already have. Cause I mean, a lot of guys vary in this aspect, right?
They do. Yes.
So that's just, if things change. In one way, you get, if you change in weight and you haven't like made any issue, like things that can physically manifest
loss of appetite.
Yep. And then of course, you have the thoughts that aren't so good. If you think about the end of things, that's not cool.
Well, and I said this at the end of our last episode, and I say this again, if any man out there, don't care who you are, if you have even had the fleeting thought that the world is a better place without you, please stop. Well, please reach out.
Reach out to somebody.
Please ask for help. Actually,
I'll put it in the description too.
There is someone in your life that you can reach out to. Reach out to us through the Facebook page. I would love to be able to, dare say that I would chat with you and hopefully I could be a conduit to kind of get you in a direction you need to go in. But trust me when I say the world is a better place with you in it. So,
yeah. So, I mean, those are some like signs, and that's not all of them necessarily, but that's just some major ones that you can see. Now I did going along. This is kind of coinciding with some of the biblical verses that I've looked at.
Yep.
So there was it said, eight ways to mind your man-xiety.
Yeah, man-xiety.
Man-xiety, right? We have
a new word, ladies and gentlemen, yeah. Man-xiety.
I just thought it was funny.
It is funny.
So, and I think this is a big one. They say radical acceptance is the new denial. So what they're meaning is radically and mindfully accept that you can't control everything and accept yourself even when you feel unacceptable.
Yep.
Okay. Now, here's what I mean. I think this is really a bigger problem in men than women. This is one of them. I think there's probably because men want to have control. They want to be, it's like you're
alive. It's in our nature.
Yeah. Yeah. And so the thing is like you are not going to be able to control everything. It's just, that is just absolutely not even remotely going to happen. Right.
Doesn't work.
Doesn't matter how hard you try, so it's like an acceptance of that is crucial. The other thing too is they say is coffee and booze lie to you. So if you have too much caffeine, you have too much to drink. Yeah. That's not going to do you right either. Those you got to rein that in.
And these are two dudes that like caffeine.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And look, here's the thing. They called it let your body talk, but basically just be, if you're doing something physical,
yeah,
that does all kinds of things physically and mentally for you.
It releases dopamine in your brain. It causes positive electrical signals in your body. One of the reasons why I work out, man, when I go to the gym, it's so funny because people will come up to me and they'll go, Brian, why do you go to the gym? You're trying to get buff? No, it's my mental health.
Yeah, it really is.
It's a place where I go, where I can physically release all of my stress, where I can turn on something in my earphones. Usually I'm listening to a podcast or a sermon or, sometimes I listen to music, but that kind of reaches an end at a certain point where you're really, if I'm in there trying to take care of myself physically, I'd like to take care of myself mentally at the same time. So I love to listen to a good podcast. A few of them that I would recommend, Sean Ryan's podcast is a great podcast. He has some excellent guests, Jordan Peterson podcast. Even the Joe Rogan podcast, he has some very, very strong guests on there that have some very, very good, points of knowledge that are great for men and just great in general. But find it, for me, it's just this release of everything. I'm driven and focused on this one thing. Get rid of all the anxiety, get rid of all the stress, sweat it out, strain it out, so that when I go home, those things are gone and I can be the best for my family while I'm there.
Yeah. I mean, and again, you don't have to go far.
Yeah, not at all.
You don't have to. Your bed is a time machine to pancakes. I love that.
That is so funny and so true.
But think about it.
Not to mention the fact that I ate pancakes for breakfast this morning.
getting appropriate sleep and not too much, not too little is vital.
Well, and that's something that I struggle with.
Your schedule kind of lends itself to
have
a problem with that.
4:30 every morning. Yeah. But part of my problem is I tend to worry a lot about my kids and about my wife and about the next day. And so sleep is a premium thing for me. I've got to get as much of it as I can. I sleep in on Saturdays, sleep in on Sundays a little bit before church, but I struggle when I don't sleep. I struggle with my thoughts. I struggle with my emotions. I get completely discombobulated when I'm not sleeping well. And I have a lot of physical pain coming from injuries and things like that I've had over the years.
Yep.
I'm currently dealing with a nerve issue in my shoulder and my neck that are definitely an issue, but there's ways to work around that, right? To get good sleep, to get good rest. And I encourage guys all the time. If you have a moment to rest, take it. It's okay. You're not doing something wrong by, taking a quick half hour nap and getting a little bit of a recharge during the day, right? Like if you've got that moment and it's not going to interfere with the normals of the day, take that time to rest. It's okay.
And we'll actually spend in an episode on rest.
Oh yeah. I'm excited about this.
That's
one.
Coming up. Yeah.
Be cool.
So with that too, with the whole pancake thing, your cheat meal shouldn't be a month long.
Yeah.
And I think this goes to just what you intake into your body mm-hmm. plays a huge role into all kinds of things that you do and are and everything else.
Absolutely.
And this is one of the things about like why we've chosen to try to like get away from all the process stuff and everything yeah. else. It's like removing all that does a hurdle for you doing all that. My wife has actually even started doing the carnivore diet because she mm-hmm. has like a lot of arthritis stuff. And yep. it's like, well, I told her, I was like, why don't you need to probably try the carnivore thing, get on that and see if that doesn't get rid of you. And it's because
tell you what, the data doesn't lie.
No, it's, I mean, right. there's lots of research now that backs up that it'll do wonders for certain things.
Jordan Peterson does a whole episode of his podcast called, I think it's, and I could be wrong, I'll try to find it and send it to you, Reggie, so we can post it. But it's like meat is a medicine. And of course, famously, him and his daughter both had a lot of autoimmune issues, and they went to carnivore, and those issues are gone.
They're gone, man. Gone. And especially her, she had like some.
Oh serious. Yeah, she had some serious. That, well
Jordan Peterson, yeah, he almost died.
Yeah, right. And I do believe that, and I may be wrong, but I do believe that his wife, who recently battled cancer, did it during her cancer, and her recovery went better.
Right? Yeah, I mean, it's just so there's a lot of look. We're not going to get into that because there's a whole bunch of carnivore diet things. Well,
guys, when you type diet into the Google, yeah, just don't.
Just here's the thing.
All your nightmares are going to come up on the screen.
I'm not a keto fan. I'm not like I've read enough and I know enough people who have gone that carnivore route to know that, man, that's made a big difference in people's lives.
Yeah.
And you might think, well, why? It's just vegetable. Well, the thing, just if you want to look into it, look into it. And if you want some help trying to find some resources, reach out. But I'm telling you, I'm not necessarily on a carnivore diet. Like I said, it's just about not processing stuff, trying to just eat well.
Yeah.
Right. And trying to stay away from processed stuff. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah. Like this morning when I got up, I had 3 protein pancakes, 45 grams of protein. Should always start your day off with some protein. But, you know, one thing I encourage people too is you can eat. Just don't, you know, our tendency is when life isn't going well is to just revert to the garbage stuff because it's just comfort.
Dude, when I was pulling the dad mom thing, bro, it didn't matter. I don't care. Just give me my Doritos. Shut up.
You know? I want you to roll my hot dog in Dorito crumbs.
Oh, and man.
Deep fry I'm that telling bad you, boy. Dude.
That's I eat when I'm stressed, man. It's no doubt. And most people do. But so here's another thing I want to talk about too, is another thing is like being in nature also too. And they mentioned that in here, but getting out into nature at least sometime helps everything as well. Go take a walk in a park. Go to a forestry somewhere and just hang out. Take your socks and shoes and stand on the dirt, dude.
Yeah.
Just
go out in your yard and just kind of crinkle your toes up in the grass.
You'd be surprised how that makes you feel.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really crazy how that does that.
Also, something I would recommend is, you know, from time to time, turn everything off. Turn off the noise, sit for a minute, and really kind of file through your thoughts and emotions. And man, you talk about discovering some things when there's nothing there to distract you, when there's zero distractions. It can be super beneficial.
But also to understand that your emotions are a choice as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I know in the anxiety, depression, there's like chemical stuff going on, but I'm saying like, really, really make sure you're applying brain power to what you feel.
Yeah.
This is what I tell my daughters all the time. It's like you feel something. Think about what you're feeling, why you're feeling it. Should you even be feeling it? Is it over the top? Is it
unnecessary?
You really need to think about what you feel in order to like really control yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay?
And that plays a big into all of this stuff that we're talking about, because like if all these things are coming from, you know, shame or like a lack of control or stress of this or that, I mean, then you know, you really need to spend some time in your own thoughts to just sort that out, man. Yeah. It's important.
Figure out what's going on in your brain. It's okay. It's okay to take a minute to stop what you're doing and say, all right, what, why am I doing this? Why am I acting this way?
So Solomon, Proverbs 12:25, anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad.
Mm.
So what do you think that means, Brian?
I think it has to do with encouragement. I think it has to do with, you know, again, being surrounded by wise counsel. One of the things that I've always appreciated about my relationship with the people around me that I've built is they're willing to call me out, but they're also willing to give me a good word.
Yeah.
Hey, Brian, you're doing this and you probably shouldn't be. And the reason I know this is because I know you have good character and I know you're a good person. We so often get bogged down in, well, you shouldn't do that. You're bad because you're doing that. Well, it doesn't just, I know a lot of people who have participated in bad behaviors, but because I call you out on a bad behavior doesn't mean I'm indicting your character.
Yeah. Well, I'd say too, if you're start encouraging others and you'll feel better about who you are as well. So just your act of just trying to encourage others brings about change for yourself. There's also that as well.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like look into the positive stuff instead of the negative stuff. That's it's a perspective that is, you change your mindset around what's good instead of what's bad.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. 1 Peter 5:6-7. So look, this is for the Christ following mindset, we always got to keep in mind that he has a mind for us, and casting our anxiety onto him is what he wants us to do.
Well, that Matthew 11:28-30, take my yoke upon you and learn of me.
Yes.
For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest upon your soul. That basically what that's saying is that cast the heavy load upon God and God will help you carry it. Doesn't mean to take it away from you, but he'll help you carry it. Whether it's mental, emotional, physical, whatever it is. I don't say it all the time, but I am very, very aware that the physical pain that I feel, the mental issues I deal with, the emotional issues I deal with, that God knows them and is with me during them, right? Like he doesn't just, God's not like, yeah, you're acting like a whack job, I gotta go.
Always there.
I'll be back later. No, that's not the way it works, right? He's always there. He's always there, right? And that's where we really gotta start talking about leaning on God, right? Like leaning into the thing that you know will save you.
I'm going to read this whole thing because I think this is probably the most impactful thing about anxiety or depression or something like that with people. And this is what Jesus said in Matthew 6:25-34. I'm going to read the whole thing. This is from the Legacy Standard Bible. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth more than they? At which of you, by worrying, can add a single cubit to his lifespan? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith, do not worry then, saying, what will eat while I eat? Or, whoops, what will I drink? Or what will we wear for clothing? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. That's Christ himself, dude. And yeah. I mean, there's no, it's
no more wise words.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's a glorious like grace that we exist in the fellowship with Christ, man. And it's like the worry is his. It's not our worry. And there's a value that is intrinsically put on all of his people. I mean, you're valued. That's, yes. That's the thing. It doesn't matter. Even if you had like no limbs and you're a vegetable, you still have a value to God. That's still there. He immensely cares and loves you and wants everything for you. I mean, that's the thing. This is the one I think what's critical about this whole topic with, and especially with the Christian folk and Christian men, is we allow the world to tell us our value.
Yeah.
If the world tells you how you're valued, you won't be valuable.
Yeah. You don't have any value if you're depending on the world.
No.
Because the world doesn't value anything.
No. But God does.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's anything that could be a fix for any kind of depression or anxiety, it's him.
Well, here's the last thing I'll say. The last thing I'll say is this. I truly believe that the cause of depression and anxiety amongst men has nothing to do with anything toxic. I truly believe that it has to do with the world daily attempting to suppress our natural environment.
Agreed.
What I would encourage men to do is embrace your masculinity. This doesn't mean go outside and beat your chest and grunt and climb a tree. It could mean that. But but what I'm saying is embrace what you are at your core, and that is we were built to serve and to lead. That doesn't mean you dominate people. You lead with your actions, which I'm just as guilty as anyone else of not leading with my actions. You're built to serve others. One of my philosophies in life has always been, I'm going to get the energy back that I put out. So if I'm constantly ignoring the need around me, then my needs will be ignored. So part of my job as a man, as a masculine figure, is to serve the needs of others. Even when I think it's pointless, even when I think if I have an opportunity to help someone, even if it's the smallest thing, even if it's just connecting a person to another person, it's my job to do so because it's what God built me to do. He built me to be of service. You know, I recently did something for someone and the question came out, and it always comes out. Why are you doing this? What are you getting out of this? I don't want anything. I don't care. I'm not helping you because I've always said that if you are giving something with the expectation of getting something in return, then you're not really giving something. You're bartering. You're just not letting the other person know that you're bartering.
Pretty much. You know?
So be what you're built to be. Be a servant to your family, to your church, to your community, to people you don't know. So find a way to embrace that part of yourself that is a servant. And don't look at it. A lot of men look at it as, well, I'm always expected. You're damn right you are. Because that's what God built you for.
But not only that, though, the world sets unreasonable expectations
on all
of us, right? Here's the final word of advice. Get on your knees and pray.
Absolutely.
Set yourself, put your knees on the floor. Don't care if you got a pillow. Don't care. Sit down there, talk to him.
And also, just kind of an add-on to that. Prayer is not Oh, ye glorious lordeth of the... Dude, I tell you what. Sometimes God and I go a couple rounds.
You got to be real, and he knows you're real.
Because there will be times when I'm angry about something, and I don't feel good about something, and I feel like he's not listening, and I will let him know that I feel like he's not listening. Because he wants you in every broken form of what you are, every healed form of what you are. He is past, present, and future. If you think that he cannot see what you're thinking, what you thought, what you're going to think, how it's going to affect you, you're wrong. You're so wrong. And be completely honest with him when you pray. Tell him how you're feeling.
He knows
it
already.
Tell him you feel alone. Tell him you feel like he's not with you. Tell him you feel like you're not getting your needs met. Tell him, am I telling you that he'll hop up and go, well, I'll get to it right now? No. But that is how true progress in your spiritual life, in your family life, in your emotional life is let him know. You may be wrong. You may be wrong to feel that way, but you got to let it out.
But expect to have an answer from your prayer too.
Yeah.
Okay. Be mindful that what you pray for has an answer. Yes, no, or not right now.
Yeah.
Be on the lookout for those answers. They could occur in the most weird, obscure ways. I'm telling you, it happens all the time.
I got an answer from God about a year ago, and it was the strangest answer. It was a keep working. You know, it wasn't here's the answer. It wasn't no, it was, well, you better keep working.
And it's not like, and here's what I want to tell people too, because a lot of new Christians maybe not know this too. It's not like God himself will speak to you like in English and, you know, and all this stuff. Until it'll be some kind of thought, something you see, or somebody else says something to you. It's like I said, be observant and listen. Watch, because you'll be astonished by like something that just, whoa, that guy just, did he just, and it could be random. I know one time, I forgot what it was now. Many, many, many years ago, drive down the road. I even forgot what I was asking for, but there was a construction worker we stopped at a construction worker thing. It was a one lane thing. They were having a conversation. And the conversation was what I was praying, like I just prayed about. And he was sitting there talking about it. And it was like, holy mackerel. And there it was.
Yeah.
It wasn't even, it was as crazy as that. So anyway, look, anxiety and depression is very real. It's a very real situation. Men deal with it. We have emotions. You are valuable. Whether or not the world says you are or not, you are.
Never underestimate. The absence in other people's lives that would be left if you weren't there.
Exactly.
And if you guide yourself on that principle alone, you'll be just fine. You know, so.
We're R&B Talks. Like, subscribe, comment. Let us know if you need something.
Subscribe.
Yep. And if you're listening on a podcast, we appreciate you too.
Yeah.
I know there's quite a few of you that do the podcast thing, which is also very awesome.
And know this too. We're very sincere when we say what we say. I am very sincere in telling you that I am a broken man who has as many issues as any other man. You know, I've struggled in my life with lust. I've struggled in my life with anger. I've struggled in my life with all these things have been struggles for me at one point or another in my life. And I'm sure that if the opportunity comes and the enemy comes, that he'll use those struggles against me. The difference between me and everyone else is I know that my God knows I'm imperfect. I know that he knows I'm born of a sinful nature. I know that he understands that I'm going to make mistakes, but I also know and understand that it's imperative on me to reach out to him when I'm struggling. And in that being said, reach out to your pastor, to your brother, to your friend, to your wife. Just reach out to someone and say, hey, man, I'm struggling with this and I am out of answers and I need help. It is that moment where you will find your answer.
Eat, pray, love.
I don't know about all that. Sounds good.
All right, y'all. Appreciate you. Be well.
Have a good one.
Until the next time.
See ya.
See ya.